Welcome back to the Punk News Podcast for the week of January 29, 2014. Let's get this party started. We are Adam Free, so that means it's going to get wild tonight. And here we are back on the Punk News Podcast. This is features editor John Gentilia. And you know what they say, when the wolves are out away, the chickadees will play, or something like that. Anyways, so we're gonna be getting down, we're gonna be getting loose, we're gonna be getting freaky on tonight's podcast. And with me tonight are two freak meisters. Who should I introduce first? Because I don't want to favor one over the other. Should we do alphabetical order? I'll tell you what. I'm going to think of a number between one and ten, and each of you say the number, but don't say your name. So, I've got the number. Go ahead.
Eight.
Four.
Who said, and the person coming closest with eight, because I was thinking seven. The person coming closest is reviews writer Greg Simpson, everyone's favorite music school teacher. Greg, what's happening?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you, John?
I'm doing all right. And also, way off the mark, was a man who just went and saw Tim Armstrong's art exhibit with Shepard Fairey, and he saw the Transplants do a, I believe it was a Blitz cover, Armando Olivas. Armando, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, although I will say, if we're playing by Price is Right rules, Greg was technically off, because you can't go over.
That's true, that is Price is Right rules. Armando, how was the Transplants? Because that's a continuing thing on the podcast this week, the Transplants. Were they cool?
I'm not really a Transplants fan, other than like some songs off the first record, but I will say this much. Seeing them play a Blitz cover is A, unexpected, and B, surprisingly, wasn't half bad.
Well, there you have it. The Transplants live is not half bad. I would actually think like there was no turntable, right?
Nah, it was just Tim, Travis, Skinhead Rob, and like two of the dudes from the Interrupters, and that is rad.
That actually brings up two things. First of all, I would argue that Transplants sans turntable is like five times better than Transplants with turntable. I don't think they need it, you know?
They don't.
Second, what is a power trio? Like, is there a non-power trio? I mean, I know Rush is a power trio, but can the band just be a regular, like, is there a regular trio? Is there like a weak trio?
I would say we are a non-power trio. We are just an average trio.
No, we are an atomic power trio. I mean, this is like the triumvirate right here. This is like the dudes that ran Rome back in the day. We got three very smart, very handsome men in their sexual prime, out on the prowl, talking about jams, just the creme de la creme.
So if we're atomic power, does that mean we're bad for the environment?
It means we're bad for anything around us. That's what it means. So we got two letters. One's a little bit old, but I wanted to hold it until Armando came on the podcast. And the second one is actually brand new, and it's addressed to Greg. So I wanted to read it when he was on here too. But the first one, this is a reader wrote this to Armando. This is from Luna. Here's what she said. Luna said, "Dear Punk News, I love it when Armando is on. I think he has the sexiest voice. Please have him on more often. Love the podcast, Luna."
Oh, man.
Armando, what do you think of that?
I think that's a fake email.
That's a real email. I'm telling you, we got that. Ask Sound Guy Nairman. Oh, and also, we have to thank Sound Guy Nairman for putting this podcast together, as always. Sound Guy Nairman is the man. He's the tops. Much props to Sound Guy Nairman. Second letter we got. Recently, Greg did a review of the Pixies EP, and for some reason, he kept comparing the Pixies to AC/DC, and then he was like, AC/DC never wrote a song outside of 4/4 to save their life. And so I made fun of him for having a mustache, and Bandit X, which I think is a pun of Planet X, wrote in this email, I kid you not, "Yo, Punk News, stop making fun of Greg for his mustache. I'll have you know that until the 1930s, more men had mustaches than did not. So as history will prove, John, you are in the minority. Evolve with us facial hairs or die." Signed, Bandit X.
You are such a liar. But yeah, totally. If you guys have ever seen Deadwood, that's totally where I'm getting this from. No, when I started watching Deadwood way after the fact, I'm like, damn, they all have my facial hair, because it's not just the mustache. You got the little soul patch underneath, too. Or you could call it the Zappa.
I like it. I don't think you don't have the Zappa. I mean, Zappa has a cool mustache. You do not have the Zappa, Greg. I'm sorry.
It doesn't. Well, he has like the – it's almost like the Fu Manchu where it comes down the sides a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have that.
No, it's I'll call it the Deadwood because fucking what's the actor's name? The main dude, the sheriff from Deadwood.
You know, Deadwood can be a nom de plume or a synonym for being impotent. That's Deadwood.
It's also the name of a town in South Dakota, right?
What is the purpose of your mustache? Is it to highlight a personality trait? Is it to keep your upper lip warm? What is the reason for the mustache?
Mainly...
It's not ironic, right? You genuinely like the mustache, right?
I do, yes. Well, it's a Simpson tradition, for one.
Your dad's got a mustache?
He was rocking it for the longest time. When it started going gray, he did get rid of it, which was really weird to everybody at first. But yeah, like if you look at pictures of him when he was my age, I mean, we're like identical. But also just because I would love to have a full like lumberjack beard, but it's just not in the cards for me, I guess, or not in the genes or something. These are the only two spots on my face where it'll come in thick is the little soul patch and the mustache. So there you go.
Armando, where do you stand on facial hair?
If you can grow proper facial hair, then by all means, go for it. If you can't, then shave off your dirt lip and keep it clean.
Does one have a moral duty to grow facial hair if one can?
I think at least once or twice a year, yes. It's not something you should have to maintain all the time, but I feel you should at least do it for the sake of doing so out of respect to those like myself who can't.
Do you wish you could? Or I mean, Armando, how often do you have to shave?
I have to shave every day only because like my facial hair kind of grows in patchy. Mm. And so if I don't, it looks like somebody tried to plant grass on the lawn and didn't know what they were doing.
Mm. Well, fair enough. I watched the Grammys last weekend was the Grammys.
Sunday.
And and I thought, I mean, like, you know, it's the Grammys. It's not going to be like The Clash or whatever. Like, you know, it's the Grammys. It's pop music. I enjoyed it, but I felt that Macklemore robbed, well, not Macklemore, the committee robbed Kendrick Lamar of Best Hip Hop Album of the Year. I mean, I know Macklemore has Thrift Shop, which is a catchy, fun tune, and it's fairly unique, but that's really more of a one-hit wonder kind of thing. And Kendrick Lamar's album, which doesn't have any standout singles, is much more of like a true album. It's kind of like comparing Chubby Checker to Marvin Gaye, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Chubby Checker had the hits, but Marvin Gaye had, you know, the deep cuts, you know, the full album concepts.
I think this is a continuation of a troubling trend, and I'm not trying to be controversial here, but I mean, it's not off base to say that African Americans invented hip hop. Really, African Americans invented, you know, most forms of music, if you ask me. Rock and roll is African Americans, reggae, funk, hip hop, it's all African Americans.
You know, February is just around the corner. I actually do a African American musical history unit with my fifth and sixth graders, and we're gonna sing some Motown and some Ray Charles and all kinds of cool stuff.
That's cool.
But
what I'm saying is across history, there's been a troubling trend of music being, I don't want to say taken away from African Americans, but African Americans who have made inventions not really getting their proper due in music. I don't think that's too controversial of a thing to say, right? Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
So I think that by giving the Grammy to Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, both who are non-African Americans, it's really not as good of an album, but I think across the history of music and all of media, African Americans, for some reason, have sort of been, I guess, represented as, I want to say demonized, unfairly demonized, I should point you. And so people kind of go to non-African Americans for these kinds of awards because they're less threatening, even though I don't think Kendrick Lamar is a threatening person, you know.
How old is Kendrick Lamar?
Like anyway? 22, 23, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like he's in high school. He's not threatening at all.
And so what I'm saying is, like, Macklemore is the safer person. You know, I think most people, I think media feels as though Kendrick Lamar is a more clean-cut, nicer boy, while Kendrick Lamar is a more dangerous guy, even though I don't think he is. And I feel as though
people... I don't know, John. I feel like Macklemore's hair could attack me at any moment. That's pretty threatening.
all I'm saying is I fear that this Grammy is a symptom of African Americans once again not being given their due credit for whatever reason in music. So it really kind of bums me out, because as far as albums go, Kendrick Lamar's is way better than Macklemore's, you know?
Sure, but I mean, are you saying that a white boy should never win a Grammy in the rap category?
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying definitely not in this category, you know? Like, you know, if it was Paul's Boutique versus Kendrick Lamar's, Good Kid, Mad City, Paul's Boutique would probably win. But not Macklemore, you know? I mean, it's got like three singles and junk, you know? Whereas Kendrick Lamar's album is a solid album. I don't think the Grammy should be based on race. But I'm saying is it seems to me in award-type ceremonies, African-Americans are set at a disadvantage. So Kendrick Lamar would have had to put out like a phenomenal album like he did with the poppy singles that Macklemore did in order to beat Macklemore. Whereas all Macklemore has to do is put out a couple poppy singles.
Yeah, well, you know what? I remember that there was a, and I could be wrong on this, I might have to Google to double check, but I know that there was some controversy with the committee, because originally they didn't want to put Macklemore in the rap category, like, you know, I guess because there's several different subcommittees, so like, the, you know, the hip-hop rap committee didn't want to group him in there, but then they were like outweighed by like the committee at large or something like that. And so I said, don't quote me on that, you know, listeners, I have to double check that on Google and make sure that it is in fact a true story. But I remember hearing about that through the grapevine when having the usual discussion on these kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, give Macklemore the hip-hop single of the year, the single of the year, because Thrift Shop is a cool single. You know, I mean, it's kind of quirky, it's kind of stupid, but it's a fun, clever single. But, that's not a Grammy album, you know?
I haven't listened to it, so I've only listened to Kendrick's, so I can't say if Macklemore's is or isn't, but, I mean, I get where you're going with this.
Yeah, I'm just saying, is I fear it's a continuing cycle of, for whatever reason, African Americans being put at a starting disadvantage when it comes to awards and that kind of thing in music. So I just think it's a shame, and I think that I guess that I wish the awards were less colorblind, if you will, you know. So, anyways, that's just my little rant on that. I hope I don't get sued, but I really don't think what I've said is that offensive, to tell you the truth. I mean. Well, anyways,
I'm currently trying to confirm Armando's little statement there about Macklemore.
Anyways, for less offensive subjects, Punk Rock Bowling just announced a bunch of new acts, and I gotta say, this year Punk Rock Bowling is looking banging. This year, Punk Rock Bowling it's taking place May 23 to 26. It looks like in Las Vegas. They've just added to the list: Face to Face, Leftover Crack, Off, The Dwarves, Good Riddance, Masked Intruder, La Plebe, The Generators, Bad Cop, Good Cop, Bad Cop, or Bad Cop, Bad Cop. I think it might be Good Cop, Bad Cop.
Maybe it's Bad. It's Bad Cop, Bad Cop.
Oh, it is. Local band. And Rats in the Wall, which is Brad Logan of F Minus's new band, which I really, really want to see. They join who are already on the list: Coxspar, Descendants, NOFX, Anti Nowhere League, and a bunch of Angelic Upstarts, Peter Test Two Babies, Cerebral Ballsy, SNFU. And some other pretty cool bands. A Devil's Brigade, which some people like. So I gotta say, man, Punk Rock Bowling is looking pretty kick-ass this year. What do you guys think?
It's not bad. It's a pretty good lineup. I feel like, and it's funny because I could say the same thing about the Fest, but I feel like this lineup is a rehashing of like 2011 and 2012's lineups. You know, because I was pretty bummed out, you know, that, you know, there was a couple of bands that they could have gotten but didn't, you know, like I was kind of hoping that, you know, this might be the year that they get the Toy Dolls to play, which wasn't the case. And I feel like maybe they could have, like, I'm glad that they got the SNFU. That, like, seems like it'd be pretty cool. And, you know, I'm never going to turn down a chance to see Descendants or Coxspar, But like I said, all these bands have been like the main headliner for a specific day, like in recent years. So I was kind of hoping maybe it might be have been like another year or two before they cycled through. Especially yeah. because Descendants and Cox Bar both headlined the same year. So that for me, that was a little weird.
Huh. Have you been to it?
I've been to it twice, 2 years in a row, 2011 and 2012.
What was one of the best shows that you saw there? Like the best?
To be honest, it was probably the after show, because they have a lot of club shows going on.
Well, I mean, and, what band?
Laura Jane Grace doing an all acoustic set, like probably like the first acoustic set she had done since coming out, and it was like 80% old Against Me stuff and a couple of songs from Transgender Dysphoria Blues before like anybody had really heard anything yet. So that might have been like the set for that weekend.
Greg, is this too hardcore for you?
It's not ska. It's not ska enough for him.
Greg, are you there?
I can hear you now. I don't know. It was weird. I was having a problem like this last time I was on. I don't know what the balls just happened, but I lost you guys for a second.
Might be the mustache is interfering with the electrical receiver.
I think it's. Yeah, it's brushing up against the microphone and causing problems. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't hear anything until like the word ska came up just a second ago.
Oh, Greg, are you interested in this? Will you be going? Do you like these bands?
Will I be going to Punk Rock Bowling? I would love to go at some point, but this year is probably not in the cards. What's the date on this again? May 23rd.
Memorial Day weekend.
There's a chance I may be moving like out of Indiana and all this stuff around that time. So probably not going to happen.
Are you excited to see any of these bands that go on tour?
Oh yeah, I mean I'd love to see the Descendants. Have not seen them ever. Face to Face was one of my favorite bands in high school. Never got to see them, I don't believe, either. Good Riddance, I have seen. I another one of my favorite bands from high school. And I like Mask Intruder a lot. I still have not seen them yet either. So it would make for a cool weekend.
You know, that is the thing. Like aside from the Descendants and Cox Bar, well, and like Anti... Well, I'm going to take back most of what I said, but a lot of these bands tour a lot, so you can see them pretty much no matter where you are if you live in the U.S. But Cox Bar, Descendants, they don't tour that much. Neither does Anti-Nowhere League or Peter and the Test Tube Babies, which is one of the first pub rock slash oi-ish kind of band. They're pretty cool. But Armando, you said you've seen Cox Bar?
Yeah, I saw them at Punk Rock Bowling. It was pretty cool. It was a little interesting. Just a lot of polos at the show.
Oh, I didn't realize they were a polo band. I thought they were more of like a Liberty Spike kind of band.
Nah, dude, they're like the traditional skin with the shaved head and the Fred Perrys and the Docs, dude.
How unoriginal, I gotta say. I'm really unimpressed by that getup. It's like, I mean, I like Cox Bar, don't get me wrong, but it's like, to me, punk rock is about independent thought, and wearing a uniform just flies in the face of that. I don't know how people have those two, don't realize that disconnect. You know?
Well, I mean, like, if you think about it, a Liberty Spikes is a uniform. No matter what you're wearing these days, you're pretty much wearing a uniform.
Well, I disagree with that, but I would agree that Liberty Spikes is a uniform.
Have you guys seen my senior high school portrait?
No.
You should go scope my Facebook and check that out.
Do you have Liberty Spikes?
Oh, I had, six and a half inch blue spikes in 1999. 98? 99.
Well, I'll check that out. But I should point out that speaking of Off has released the first new track from the third EP called Voids You Out. And, man, it is a ripper. It is a ripper. Did you guys check it out? Are you guys excited for Off? Did you think this song was the best song they've released so far?
I did check it out. I can't say Off really does it for me.
How can you say that? Like, really?
I appreciate it for what it is.
I don't think you do. When people say, oh, I appreciate it for what it is, it means like, oh, it's too tough for me. That's what it means.
No, I like that early 80s style of hardcore.
You do kind of have a Frank Zappa mustache. I take that back. You're actually pretty close to the Frank Zappa. So anyway, how can you not like Off? Off rules.
I as far as bug poisons go, Off is my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Much better than On.
Armando, are you anti Off as well?
No, I'm pro Off, but I thought it was funny that we're talking about Off because earlier today I was on Instagram and Alex Kearns of Lemuria was just comparing which would be the better bug poison, Off or Black Flag, and then I just couldn't help but laugh at the joke.
Nice.
Yeah, but I got to see Off at FYF once, and that was pretty cool. So there was a lot of jerks in the pit, and some guy was such a jerk that everyone beat him up to the point where he started bleeding, and I think he was just on drugs, but Off was still cool.
Yeah, man, everybody knows I love Off, but what I really like about this track is it's more frantic, it tears itself apart more, and honestly, it's exactly what I want from Off. It's basically them doing, 70, 80, 90-second bangers, simple hard rock and hard riffs, but this is even more frantic and more berserk, and honestly, I'm betting right now it's going to be their best album to date, so I'm really excited for this album.
I like the song a lot. It's just not.
You just said they didn't do it for you. You're just backpedaling. I said,
no. They're not something that I would put on regularly. But I mean, I appreciate what they do. I just feel like it's a bit of a retread. It's done well, but it's.
You need to listen to last week's podcast because we addressed this exact issue.
Oh, okay. I missed that one.
Well, anyway, speaking of Lemuria. Is that how you say it? Lemuria?
Let's call them the Lems.
The Lems. Well, the Lems have just released a new video off their album from last year called The Distance Is So Big. The track is called Oahu, Hawaii, and the video features a fellow paddling through what looks like a scary swamp.
Yeah, I watched like a third of it, but then I had to go do laundry and wash my car and do a bunch of other stuff. But it looked interesting. It looked like really interesting CGI. I just wish I could have finished it.
I like the style of it, but honestly, I think it got a little bit boring. I mean, it's 4 minutes and 46 seconds, and he just paddles through a bunch of stuff. I mean, the scenery changes, but...
I mean, listen, Greg, I think this video was catered to you and your softness and your lack of love of aggressive music.
That's what I'm saying.
Take what you can get.
That's what I'm saying.
When my band, I'm not saying I don't like the song, when my band was AP Band of the Day on...
when was this, 2004?
No, this is not my old band with horns that we talked about last time. This is my current band with my wife. We were AP Band of the Day in... 2012, I think, in the summer sometime. And
no one cares. Old news.
They compared us to Lemuria, and I had only heard them in passing before, so I just think that's kind of interesting when you get compared to bands that you don't draw an influence from really at all. But I think it's just because we got a chick singer, I think.
Greg, I would think that you're a Lemuria maniac.
I like what I've heard. It's just I've never, I guess I've never fully explored their discography.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like this 5 minutes, that's a long track, basically. I think it's all
especially
right.
Especially for a guy who listens to Off.
Well, yeah, but true, but I listen to Rush, too. I listen to Funkadelic. They have 9 minute songs. I listen to Sleep. They've got a 61 minute song, son.
Holy fuck.
But, I guess people go crazy for this band, and I don't see why. I mean, maybe it's just that I don't understand it yet. And, sometimes it takes you a while to understand music. It just seems a little sedate to me, and it doesn't seem to really evolve as it could across 5 minutes.
So, yeah, I would agree. I mean, I like their style for sure. I mean, it does kind of fit into a lot of stuff I like. But, yeah, I would agree that the song doesn't go much of anywhere for 4:45. I also would like to point out my fellow Two Gregs co-host Greg Moore would be upset if I didn't mention that this song has the titular line, meaning they say the distance is so big, which is the name of their album. They say that line in the song. So there you go.
Oh, I see. What's your opinion of that? Naming a album not after a song, but after a line in a song.
I like it. It's a little sneakier.
What do you think, Armando?
I like the line in a song rather than like there being a title track. You know, it's like when you watch a movie and like they just randomly say the line out of nowhere, and it's so subtle that you don't even realize it. I don't want it to be like out in the open, but I would like it to be referenced. You know what I'm saying?
See, I almost like the title that is not named anywhere, and it sort of sums up the album as a whole.
Sure. Yeah. It's another way to go.
Well, anyway, this is basically the most minute conversation a person could have. Moving on!
We're a bunch of nerds.
True.
Nerds!
Moving on. Fat Mike of Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, which is basically, I guess, the premier punk rock covers band, they are releasing a new album soon, and the theme will be divas, including Barbra Streisand and some other people, including Barbra Streisand, Christina Aguilera, Lady Gaga, among others. Do you guys like Me First and the Gimme? Is this a good route for them to take? Do you think it will be good?
I mean, like them a lot. I'm pretty excited.
I'm indifferent. I don't really care. It could go either way, to tell you the truth. I feel like if you're a Me First and the Gimme Gimmes fan, you're not really going to be disappointed. But if you don't care, you're probably not going to start caring, you know?
I mean, yeah, it's kind of a one-trick pony in a way. But so if you really like that trick, you know, you're going to like the album. You know, it's just fun. Like, I think I said something in the comments to someone who's like, who cares? And I'm like, you know, it's super fun for sing-alongs, like on a road trip. I mean, whether or not, you know, even if you're not a punk rock fan, you're, you know, it's like oldies. People know these songs. My mom fucking loves Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. You know, it's like, and that's not a diss against them. My mom's got good taste. But, so it's good music for punk fans and for people who might not be. It's like a gateway punk band where you could be like, hey, these are songs you know, mom. You know, check this out. They're done in a punk style. Oh, that's kind of cool. I like it like that.
I gotta say, I think this. I'm not even like a huge Epiphat kind of guy at all. But I got sent one of the promos, Go Down Under, Me First and the Gimme Gimmes Go Down Under. And honestly, I became a fan after hearing that 5-song EP. I think this is just a fun band that's fun to check out. I mean, it's obviously nobody's favorite band, but that's not really the point. This is just good time music. And I've said before, there's one with good time music. You know, it's they're kind of being funny with the songs, and they're kind of being serious. I would love to see this band live. I think this is cool.
Yeah, I have seen them live. It's a lot of fun.
I saw them live once to try and, like, see if I couldn't get into it, and I couldn't get into it.
Do you like the originals that they do? Like, the original versions of the songs they do?
Yeah, I mean, they've covered songs that I've liked, but I just can't get into it. It's like, that's cool, you guys are covering a song that I like, but it's like, they don't really do much to add to the song. It's just kind of like, every, like, Me First and the Gimme Gimmes cover that I've heard is like, oh, that's Me First and the Gimme Gimmes covering a song, but they don't really do anything to add any pizzazz. It's just kind of, oh, well, they're playing a song that I like. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like what I was saying. It's kind of a one-trick thing where they've got their own style, and they just kind of force that upon whatever the original is. I mean, they'll take some twists and turns on occasion, like they'll do, like, a weird kind of intro to something, but then it always busts into, like, that Double Time Fat Records.
But speaking sound of sneaking things in, they often sneak in like references to classic punk songs. Like, yes, they'll open with like a riff from like Damaged or something like that, which is a lot of fun for me.
Right. And like on Sloop John B, they did Teenage Lobotomy, the Ramones.
Oh, I gotta check that out. Did they do like a Beach Boys one?
Yeah. The
it's an album or seven-ish?
No. This is part of which album? Sloop John B is on Blow in the Wind. They're on Blow in the Wind, which is all 60s.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So instead of Lobotomy, they say Sloop John B.
That's funny, man. Honestly, I gotta pick up some of these apps. You can get them used for like $1.99. So I gotta check some of this stuff out, dude.
Yeah, the first three are my favorite. Are a Drag. Is the musicals one. Have a Ball, their first one, is Is that one 60s? And maybe Blowing the Wind is 70s. But yeah, those first three.
Well, Snoop John B's got to be the 60s because isn't Pet Sound like 66? Yeah.
I'm blanking. It's on the first one or the
third. Well, whatever, man. This is the Punk News Podcast. This ain't Hot Air with Terry Gross or whatever, where we talk about plumbing regulations or whatever. So we're gonna keep this podcast rocking, and we got a rocking tune for you. We've got a track from the brand new Bruce Lee Band, which is now Mike Park, Jeff Rosenstock, Mike Huguenot, and a couple of, I think one of the guys from the Chinkies and somebody else, I think. Anyways, I've heard parts of the new 7-inch. Armando, I think you have too, correct?
I've heard the whole thing. I told you, it's on Spotify.
I don't listen to Spotify, man.
I mean, I ordered the 7-inch, so I don't feel any remorse or negativity from using Spotify. Plus, they put it on there themselves, so clearly they want you to use it.
Oh, it's not. Well, that is sort of one of my problems, but not in this case. I just hate, I hate Spotify because I think it urges a renting culture instead of an owning culture, which I think is foolish. But also, I don't like Spotify because they like track all your data usage and all that. I mean, so much data and stuff is tracked these days. I don't want to just hand it over willingly. I'd rather fight as much as I can. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with the fact that you really like the Melvins. Are they going to blackmail you? It turns out John Gentile really likes the Melvins. Yeah, no shit. Have you met him?
All that I'm saying, if they're using me as a source of value, then I want to get paid on my end. That's what I'm saying. I got to get paid. So anyways, this is a track from, how's the name of it? This band, Bruce Lee Band, featuring Mike Park and some other people. They've got a new 7-inch out on Really Records, which is Jeff Rosenstock's label, but I'm pretty sure it's in conjunction with Asian Man Records. This track is called Miss Me, and then I'll tell you, it's a real hot potato. Back back on the Punk News Podcast. Are you fellas ready for the second half? I feel that we had a pretty rollicking first half of the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we came off that ska song and we talked about the Melvins.
Yeah, you know,
I mean,
this really is. I'm glad we paid some ska. This really is a ska-ish episode of the Punk News Podcast.
Bro, yeah,
fast, wacky. Not a whole lot of real thought going into anything, you know.
Yeah,
we were in our prime in the mid '90s.
I wasn't in my prime in the mid '90s. I was 7.
Oh my god! How old are you, Mondo?
I'm 26.
Oh, okay. I guess you're not that much of a baby.
But check this out. I'm not going to name names, but at Punk News today, we posted a whole bunch of Bomb the Music Industry reviews, which was a lot of fun. One person that sent in a review in like 2000. I'm like, oh my god! I'd already been into the Beastie Boys for a number of years by the time this person was born.
2000. Yeah, that's a little scary.
Yikes.
2000. They've never known the 2000 crash that everyone was worried about.
Well, okay. I teach kindergarten through sixth grade, so like I had to introduce my students to Nirvana and Weezer. I mean, it's like that's just so incomprehensible to me. And I think I said something about what date was I talking about? Well, we were talking about Pete Seeger this week since he died.
Yeah, Against the Wind's a great song.
We were watching some videos that's and stuff. Joke, there's
that's
a pretty
a joke.
What song?
Against the Wind.
Against the Wind. You mean Blowing in the Wind?
No, that's Bob Seeger, Against the Wind.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I fucking
against
hate Bob
the winds. Keep running against the wind.
I hate Bob Seger. That's how I know I one can't of stand songs, and it's the old time rock and roll song. So,
but he didn't write. I mean, that's a cover.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, so he didn't even write his one song.
No,
the good song that I thought was his. But yeah, I think I mentioned like something about we were
watching.
That
was a cover.
That I did not.
Are you a music teacher?
Not a good one.
Oh no, it is by Bob Seger. I'm
a sheep fucking dick.
You're right. I'm thinking of Bring Me Back, and Drift Away. Give me the Beat Boys that saved my soul. Is that that's not old time rocking?
No. That's
I think that's like a Motown
what's that
song.
One called?
That's like a what's Motown. Doobie Brothers didn't do that. Drift. The song is Drift Away, and it's by Mentor Williams. Yeah. That. But also Uncle Cracker did a version too.
What the fuck?
Uncle Cracker, man.
You just totally derailed my story, but it doesn't matter.
Let's get back on track. You got some kindergartners, you play songs to them, and they don't know Nirvana, so you like write
a
letter to the parents or something?
It's the sixth graders. You know, you just don't realize when you're old dudes like us, it's like, okay, they're only, you know, 11 or whatever, and you don't realize, like, oh, they've got to have heard of Weezer, right? Weezer still puts out songs. No, you're like, oh, they probably heard the Foo Fighters. Foo Fighters still kind of big. No. It's like
they're only 11. Honestly, when I was 11, I didn't know hardly any music at all. Honestly, I didn't know any music at all when I was 11. Really,
right? So we talked about the Grammys, and I'm like, I want to know what you know, who you like, you know, who likes who, and why. You know, you got to be able to explain, use some musical terminology. Why do you like this artist, or why do you not like this artist? You can't just say Lorde is creepy looking. You know, it's going to be about the music. What?
She's 17. She's off limits, Greg. Off limits.
Yeah, the kids are saying she's creepy looking because she's like,
no,
goth.
I'm saying until any artist is over 18, you cannot comment on their looks. That's the rule.
So an 11-year-old can't comment on her looks?
An 11-year-old can, yes.
That's what I'm saying.
If
the
they're
kids
a dick.
Say she's creepy. Is that what?
So the 11 that she was creepy.
Yes, the 11-year-old said she was creepy because she had, like, claws on and she's wearing, like, oh, God forbid, she's wearing, like, a, you know, full-length black dress and not showing a whole bunch of skin.
So
I kind of respect that.
What do the little kids like these days, Greg?
Okay,
the Wiggles.
So
I think that's even old.
I'm talking about sixth graders here. They really liked Nirvana when I played it for them. I also played them.
They're just doing that to make you feel good.
No, totally. Most of them have seen my bands too, just because they demand it, you know. And I gotta give the crowd what they want. It's very easy to impress children with, you know, if you can play an electric guitar or drums.
So what do the kids like?
So when we were talking about the Grammys, guitars are so far underground as far as, I mean, mainstream music, there's no fucking guitars in it. I mean, even like country music, it's like there might be an acoustic guitar, but they're just like pop songs too. I mean, everything's synthesizers and drum machines. You know, they all thought Daft Punk was weird. They all thought, most of them thought that Lorde was weird, though some of them do like the song Royals. But for the most part, yeah, they either really like Katy Perry or, I mean, the older kids hate, you know, Bieber and One Direction and all that. That's younger. But like the fifth and sixth graders, they'll like, you know, they'll still like Taylor Swift and they'll like Katy Perry and they'll like Macklemore. They don't understand Kendrick Lamar. That's a little too, you know, heady for them, I guess. But yeah, it's just like the purest pop, the biggest singles, you know, that's what they like. You know, some of them have been, they've been introduced to, you know, classic stuff through their parents. So I can usually tell.
Are their parents like, kids, like classic stuff like Guns N' Roses? Cause like if they're so young, the parents are so young.
Yes. Cause a lot of their parents are around my age. So for them, like the 80s, you know, when they were growing up, that's like, that's classic rock. That's old, you know, not 70s. Those are oldies. That's not classic rock. That's oldies. Cause it's from before the parents were born.
Greg, have you ever had a single mom come on?
Wait, time out. Okay. So you just said the 70s before their parents were born. Well, how old are their parents? Because that just,
there are, okay, so I'm 32. Okay. You know,
and let's just pause that. 32 is not old. You know, everyone's like, oh, you're ancient, you're 30. 32 is damn young, bro. Damn young.
It is.
I still have my boyish good looks.
I feel like puberty doesn't really end until 29, so if anything, you barely just become a man.
Oh, I'm a man, all right. But I mean, like, a lot of these, I'm kind of teaching in a more, like, on the outskirts of Bloomington. It's kind of a more, there's some more rural areas. Basically, you know, they're having kids younger is what I'm getting at here. So, like, you know, if you have a kid when you're 20 or 21, you know, once you're my age, 32, they're in sixth grade. You know, so.
Greg, have you ever had a single mom come on you at a parent teachers conference?
No.
Have you ever had a single dad come on you?
Well, at a parent yeah, it's the mustache that does it.
Anyway, moving on, so we don't offend anyone. The Pixies have a new music video. We're out from EP2. It's called Magdalena. And it's out on their new EP, and it was recorded, I think, at the same time as the first EP. And I gotta say, man, like, people are hating on the new Pixies, and I don't know a whole lot about the Pixies, but I thought this track was pretty much as good as classic Pixies. Am I off base here?
This song is fucking awesome. I mean, yeah, I mean, when I reviewed it, I ended up, well, I reviewed EP1 as well, and I think I gave that a 5. I'm not a pitchfork douchebag. But I just thought it was okay. This EP, I think these four tracks are a lot stronger. And this one in particular, I mean, I ended up giving the EP a 7. So it's not like totally rocking my world, but I think the songs are pretty solid. And this song in particular, this is my favorite. And I like it a lot. The video was weird, though.
I thought the video was cool, man.
Yeah, no, it was kind of cool. But like, so it's a guy dressed in drag, right? And he kills some dude with a rock. Is that what's going on? Did you watch it, Armando?
I didn't.
You son of a bitch.
Armando, you like the Pixies?
I like the Pixies. I just haven't heard the new song, so I can't really speak on anything about it.
It's good, man. Listen to it.
I've been busy the past like day or two, and then
too busy for the Pixies.
Yes, I'm too busy for the Pixies, and too busy listening to ska.
Well, speaking of ska bands, the Hold Steady just released a new video, a new song themselves. The song is called I Hope This Whole Thing Didn't Frighten You, and it's off their first album since their semi-hiatus. Are you fools excited for the Hold Steady? Because for a while, Punk News, people were going insane over this band. Like, right before Franz Nicolai left, people were going insane over this band. I think some of the hype has died out. Do you guys like to hold steady? Are you excited? Or is this band past its prime? Is this band 32?
I like the hold steady, but I'm not going to lie. After Franz left, I haven't paid it as much attention. I feel like his mustache brought a lot to the band.
He shaved it off, you know?
Yes. He did?
Yeah.
That makes me sad.
He said he was tired of people focusing on his mustache. That's why he shaved it off.
It's really? A good...
He said that?
What's
he
that?
Said that?
That's what, he said that, yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, now I have nothing else to focus on. Next.
He wears cool hats sometimes, too.
He wears really nice suits. Like, at Coachella, he was dressed up. He was the only person in the band who, like, didn't dress like they came out of a basement. He had nice, like, tux on. And he wore it despite it being 112 degrees.
I think that goes back to Inferno, World Inferno, to tell you the truth. He used to be in World Inferno.
And yeah.
Then, yeah, so it's cool, man.
Yeah, I like to hold steady. I can't say I was huge into Heaven Is Whenever, which was their last one.
Was that the first non-Franz?
Yes. So maybe I've kind of gone the same way as the punk news readership in general has, because their first album was pretty good. But again, Franz was not on that one. He was on the second, third. Wait, let's see. Which album is this of theirs? Separation Sunday was their second. Boys and Girls was their third. Their fourth was Stay Positive. So he was on their second, third, and fourth records. And those are all phenomenal. They especially started blowing up with their third album, because that's where Craig Finn actually started kind of singing. Like, a lot of people were into the Lifter Puller and their early stuff, but he was just known for his lyrics, and he just sort of said them, you know, just was talking, you know, kind of a rhythmic.
Yeah, honestly, that bothers me. Like, The Fall, it gets so old after a while, you know?
Yeah. So, like, I liked Separation Sunday, their second album, but, like, okay, but they really hooked me on Boys and Girls in America. They were getting these huge, you know, Springsteen comparisons, and, you know, he started singing, so there's actually melody to go along with these good lyrics. That's a fucking fantastic album. Stay Positive was really good too.
Are you ready to eat your hat, Greg?
What?
On the bonus tracks, the Japanese bonus tracks of Boys and Girl in America, I shit you not, they cover Against the Wind by Bob Seger.
Oh my God. Wow.
Everybody loves the Seger.
Except us, yeah.
No.
No, I hate... I was never a huge fan of the Hold Steady. I guess it's just how Out to Lunch I was. Like, I was a huge – I still am. But I started being a huge World Inferno fan in 2006. And I had no idea that Franz was in the Hold Steady, which is way bigger than World Inferno. I just thought he was in World Inferno. Are you guys there?
No, I'm here. Okay. You went all weird.
Yeah. Wait, let's move on then. DOA have released a new video. The video is called Who the Hell Do You Think You Are? And is actually a cover of a song from a play called Hardcore Logo. This was kind of polarizing. I'm just going to read some of the comments here. One person said, song's decent. Well, the video, the song is, this is Cthulhuza. He said, the song is decent. The video is, well, 90% of videos are failures. Then Subway Scott said, Jesus, this song sounds like it was written by a sixth grader. And then, I'm not going to name his name here. Then someone else said, the singer reminds me of Simon Gruber from Die Hard 3, which I think has got to be a troll, because DOA are unquestionably one of the most important punk rock bands ever.
Why are you not going to mention that guy's name? It's hilarious.
I'm not trying to bust people. The Punk News Podcast is about positivity. PMA. But, we are not out here to make people feel bad.
I wanted to congratulate him for having a hilarious screen name. You're sorry, the guy that said about Die Hard 3?
Well, let me take a look at his screen name, and then we'll decide. Yeah, it's kind of funny. All right, we're gonna say it, but because Greg thinks it's funny, Greg, you can say the screen name.
Rubik's Pube. Rubik's Pube.
I mean, DOA, you know, like DOA, they've got like a classic sound that they usually don't deviate too much from. But I saw DOA live about 4 months ago. They were awesome. They did all the hits. They just blasted them out, Motorhead style. It was awesome. DOA's breaking up pretty soon. They're on the tail end of their final tour. But they still rock. Joey Keithley hasn't aged in like 30 years. He still looks exactly the same as he did in like 1978. And so anyway, I thought this track was a cool tune. Not mind-blowing, but I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it's all right. The video's crazy and funny.
I haven't seen it.
It's just, I mean, it looks like someone did it in their like high school AV class, just
well,
like
punk a, rock,
throw
baby.
A bunch. No, I know they're like, I'm gonna, you know, it's like a whole cut and paste thing, yeah, like punk rock flyers. You know, I'm just gonna smatter a bunch of images of famous people and you know crazy text over it, and I'm in front of like a blue screen or whatever, playing my guitar in front of Margaret Thatcher or something. I don't know.
I thought it was cool. I mean, it's not like the greatest video ever, but it's punk rock. You know, I don't think it has to be that serious. Maybe a live setting would have been better because D-Way's awesome live, but I thought it was cool, you know. And what else can you say? I'm sorry to see DOA go. If you get a chance to see DOA on their final tour, I definitely recommend going because they are awesome live. I guess getting back to the Seeger area, Bruce Springsteen has released a new video. It's called Just Like Firewood. It's after his. Oh, I get it. It's like a pun. Just Like Firewood and Just Like Firewood.
Did you say firewood or firewub?
Well, wood. W.
Like he's all just like firewub.
W-O-U-L-D. Wood, as in I would like a glass of water. But also, you could read it as firewood. Like, please put the firewood in the fire, Janine.
I'll put the John Gentile in the Gentile or something.
So anyways, the video is off his new album, which is basically like re-recording of rarities. It's called High Hopes. Joe Pallone, reviewer and editor Joe Pallone, he wasn't nuts about it. He gave a 5 out of a 10. What do you guys think of the new Bruce Springsteen video and song and album?
You know, I like Springsteen as much as the next guy, but I am kind of lukewarm to his newer stuff. I like seeing Max Weinberg in the video. I miss Max on Conan, so I don't know. I like that about it.
Oh, why isn't he on Conan anymore?
Wait, what?
Why isn't he on Conan anymore?
I think for one, he wanted to dedicate to Springsteen more and their touring and stuff like that. But I think he also didn't want to make the move to California when.
So yeah. Who's his drummer now?
He doesn't have one, does he?
No,
the guy from Madball.
But
no. there's a drummer.
What I mean is, he doesn't have one that's also a personality anymore.
That's true. And one thing that's disappointed me the most, you know, to go on another tangent about the new Conan is that he doesn't engage the band as much. They don't get as much camera time. And he used to rip on La Bamba, the trombone player, all the time. Talk to the trumpet player, Pender, and Max used to be in the skits and stuff like that. Their current drummer is the guy who used to fill in when I'm blanking on his name. He used to fill in for Max when Max would be on tour with Springsteen.
Stevie Madball.
No. I believe it's something Seeger, right? You know, Stevie Seeger?
Stevie Seeger.
Yeah. So I mean he's a good drummer. He drums with his shoes off, which is funny. But
like the guy from Black Flag, drummer is what they call him. The name of the drummer from Black Flag is Drummer. And he drums without his shoes.
There are a handful of guys who do that because they think, you know, like it's, you know, you got a better feel on the pedals, you know, the sensitivity. I don't know.
Honestly, I would think boots would be better because you could get a harder stomp.
You want to have some flexibility there. The ideal shoes are Vans slip-ons. There you go. That's what I wear.
Armando, I would peg you as generally not a Springsteen fan.
I like Springsteen, but I just haven't checked out probably any music he's made since after I was born. So.
Yeah, I, you know, honestly, I've tried to get into Springsteen, but I'm not a huge fan at all, really. I like Rosalie. I mean, I've got all his albums on vinyl because you can get them for like a buck. And just to check him out. I like Rosalita, but I think it's just his voice.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like he's kind of phony, to tell you the truth. Like,
really?
When he's like telling all these stories about the working man and working in a coal mine, I mean, he's just some dude from New York. You know, he's never
New Jersey, man, New Jersey.
Yeah, you're right.
John Stewart will kick your ass.
I did flub that one. You're right, but I mean, he's got songs about, you know, like picking cotton and sowing corn. He's never done all that, and I almost find that it's offensive that he thinks about that kind of stuff because like he hasn't earned the right to like profit off that because that's really really hard work. You know, and so he's sort of commercialized people's misery almost.
Well, you know, Mellencamp has been riding that same thing too.
I hear you, bro. And I hear you.
He's a Hoosier. Bob yeah, Seger, right. Bob Seger. Don't diss Pete Seger, man. Much respect. See,
Pete Seger actually does have some props that way, like Willie Nelson.
Yes, but Mellencamp, like he did come from a small town, you know, just like the song says.
Jack and Diane. But, yeah. Bunch of losers.
But he, you know, he's played off of that whole, like, oh, I'm a Midwesterner thing, even though he's a total asshole now and mainly lives in New York. Though, true story, one of my old coworkers lives next to him, his Bloomington residence, which he's almost never at.
You should, like, break in and have a party. He'll never know.
I have been to their house. I've been to parties at their house next to Mellencamp's house, and I actually teach this teacher. I teach her daughter who's in college. I teach her guitar, and then I teach her older daughter who's doing her master's. I teach her bass. So I'm like, we totally got to put together an album and throw it over the fence. See if Mellencamp can run with that. But he's an asshole, so he wouldn't. He wouldn't even listen to it.
I mean, I might change my opinion if I ever met Bruce Springsteen, but I'm just not feeling it. I think I feel about Billy Joel the way most people feel about Bruce Springsteen. I'm a huge Billy Joel fan, and I feel as though his songs are more genuine. You know, like, if you want to tell stories of, I guess, the common man, if you will, I think Billy Joel's stories are more unique or more truthful. Mm. They're certainly less romantic, you know?
Right.
And I mean romantic in the romantic sense, not in the sexual sense.
Sure, whatever you say, John. Stuff.
Well, no, I mean, when I'm saying romantic, I mean as in romantic literature.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah, listen, stuff.
Just because you guys aren't as hip to the literature as I am, listen, I know you guys are all reading Captain America comics. I'm reading friggin' Moby Dick, Brothers Karamazov. I'm reading Tale of Two Cities. Call Moby me Dick.
Moby Dick is boring as hell.
Dude, I like – well, this ain't literature hour, so we'll scrap this conversation and move on to our final article of this evening. I got to say, this has been a pretty fun, a really rampaging, a rollicking, a rumbling, a radical podcast, I got to say.
Yeah.
Radical.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyways, Pussy Riot is going to host the Amnesty in Brooklyn. So basically, Amnesty International is sponsoring a festival in Brooklyn, and Pussy Riot is hosting. I've got a couple of questions, but here's some of the acts that are going to be there. Oh, the recently freed young ladies will be there. Okay. Well, anyway, so the activists that were jailed will be at this festival in Brooklyn. The bands there will be The Flaming Lips, Imagine Dragons, Lauryn Hill, Tegan and Sarah, The Fray, Cold War Kids, Colby Collot, and Cake. A lot of C's in there. Cold War Kids, Kobe Klaw, and Cake. Anyways, tickets are on sale, I think, now. Oh, wow, and this is actually coming up real soon. It's February 5, 2014. I gotta say, I think this lineup looks kind of cool. I don't really know the purpose of it, though, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. It is a pretty diverse group of acts. I mean,
I don't think it's that diverse. I think it's just pretty, like, indie pop, you know?
Imagine Dragons, they were on the fucking Grammys.
Imagine Dragons is big, yeah. But I mean, they're still like indie pop.
And I mean, The Fray is pretty big, right? I mean, it's Colby Kalia is country. Am I wrong?
I think you're right.
So like, there's you know, there's the bigger indie bands like Flaming Lips, Tegan and Sarah. I guess are gaining some traction.
Gaining traction.
They've gotten a lot of traction.
In the mainstream.
They've gained the traction. The traction's been gained, Greg.
No, in the mainstream. Okay.
Okay, listen, Grandpa you, Greg. We don't have time for your old man talk.
I'm in tune with the kids. Kids don't fucking know. High schoolers don't know who Tegan and Sarah is. If high schoolers don't know who you are, you haven't quote unquote, made it.
Well, okay? Maybe in the Midwest, dude. Friggin', no, I knew I'm about who Tegan and Sarah really, was when I was 15. What you talking about?
Really? Well, but that's because we're hip to, you know, we got into punk rock and we got into other very strains of.
Yeah, I was like, Tegan and Sarah is very punk rock, dude.
Yeah, man. Dude, listen, have you ever been in a Tegan and Sarah mosh pit? It is brutal. Yeah. Was that Marmondo?
I was going to say, I've been to the Tegan and Sarah nosh pit. You know, they had a really good pita one time before I saw them.
Do you guys seriously, you don't make the connection there that. I mean, fucking, I still write for Punk News. I don't listen to fucking Off. Jesus Christ, there is stuff that is influenced by punk rock that you wouldn't call punk rock, but has that lineage. I mean, obviously, Tegan and Sarah's new album is about as far from punk rock as you can get, but they were, I mean, they came up, I'm sure they listened to punk and it's kind of their
stuff. You can't even make up something.
No, what are you talking about?
Tegan and Sarah are so punk.
No, their albums that were guitar-based are, I mean, it's like punk influence indie music. I mean, it's, I would even make the argument with John that even the Weaker Thans are punk influenced, even though thinks they're.
Well, yeah, because they're a Propagandhi split off, so of course they're punk influenced.
Yeah, okay.
Dumb.
you're telling me Tegan and Sarah have no relation to punk whatsoever?
I'm saying the only relation they have to punk is that they used to be an indie act, and the punk and indie worlds coexist. But I mean, Young were fans of Bad Religion, but that's it. I mean, like, they didn't used to play punk rock music.
Well, I'm not saying they were ever a hardcore band. I'm just saying that there is fucking.
They could be. I'm waiting for XTXCX. Well, SX, whatever.
Wait, Armando, did you say you're waiting for sex?
No, XTXS. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
XTXRX?
I try. Whatever letters would make it hard.
Oh, okay. You're putting X's in between. I see what you're saying.
XTXASX.
Or there'd be an ampersand in there somewhere.
I don't have time to put that many X's in there because then it becomes XTX ampersand XSX. And I'm like, that's too many X's. That's like seven.
Also, I'm gonna be real. Like, honestly, I think if somebody, either Tegan and Sarah or somebody else, like, wrote like six or seven like 1 minute hardcore bashers, and Tegan and Sarah sang it, I think it would be awesome.
Fuck yeah.
Anyways, I mean,
you guys are jerks. And you're clueless.
Well, I mean, Pussy Riot is obviously still a thing. I mean, do you think the fad will die out, or will people still be interested in Pussy Riot's war against censorship in Russia and homophobia in Russia?
Yeah, I mean, so wait, they've all been freed, right? All of them are out of
jail. Only two of them were jailed. Oh, we should mention this. A lot of people think Pussy Riot is a band. That's incorrect. Pussy Riot is a collective, and one of their facets is as a band. But that's not the only way that Pussy Riot manifests itself as.
So, what else did they do? Can you?
Yeah, like Food Not Bombs kind of things, like those kinds of things. Uh-huh. They're actually very crass-ish, the band crasses, and that, like, they distribute lots of information about, you know, abortion and health and medicine, and some of that is questionable when you really think about it. Like, I don't know if non-medical professionals should be handing out medical advice, but I mean, the intention is good. But they also, like, you know, collect donations for the homeless, prisoners' rights. They do all that kind of stuff.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean,
they also have a Kickstarter out where they're trying to record with Bob Seger a new version of Against the Wind.
a ska version. They're trying to record a new version of what is it? New Wind by 7 Seconds.
So anyway, I mean, will people stay interested in Pussy Riot, or is the tale of Pussy Riot over and people will kind of forget about them? And also, do you think Russia, after the Olympics, will crack down on them after everyone stops paying attention?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I do think that maybe it's – as far as international recognition goes, that Pussy Riot is probably going to, you know, that excitement is going to dissipate because, you know, hey, you know, there's been justice, they've been freed, and, you know, they're going to ride this wave for a little bit longer. But as far as most of us, you know, relate to the band aspect of them, and honestly, they're not all that great. So it's like, you know, now that the story has been told, you know, they may be doing good things in Russia for sure, and props to them for that. But you got to have good music, I think, to keep the punk news attention. You got to write some org core ditties, you know.
They got to write songs about friendship and whiskey.
Yes. And then they'll transition to acoustic-based songs where they still sing, like, real gruff, but, like, it's an acoustic guitar.
Then they'll go on the revival tour after that.
Exactly.
I will say I'm a little troubled by now that Pussy Riot is out of jail. People do kind of think the story is over when the story is far from over. And really, the young ladies in Pussy Riot really suffered severe injustice. They got let out like a month and a half early. So, like, what's the point, you know? And also, I do notice that the objectification and I don't know how – I don't say, like, not sexual harassment, but insulting the women because of their gender or whatever seems to be on the rise, which I think is lame. I mean, how else can I say that, you know?
It's pretty weak, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why is that on the – is it really just a vocal minority and people think it represents people, or is that a general mindset that's spreading throughout the punk world, the punk community? Or is it really just assholes?
I'm sorry, you cut out a little bit there for me again. I don't know whose end that's on, but what are they really? Who's assholes? Say that again.
Please. I'm saying, like, now that Pussy Riot is, quote, out of jail and the problems are over, quote, people are starting to make, like, you know, sexual based comments on them just because they're females. And is that really a mindset that's taking over punk rock again, or is that really just five assholes that are just being five assholes?
I would hope that it's just five assholes.
What do you think?
I would say five assholes. I mean, if you, to be honest, it's like the same couple of dudes that always have to say, like, fucked up shit on punk news, which is really annoying, you know, and all them. I feel like it's like, dude, like, do other stuff. Like, I don't pick up a hobby, like learn Muay Thai or something. So you can so instead of, you know, fighting your inner demons through, you know, half-assed jerky internet comments, you can fight those big tough guys that beat you up in high school. I feel like that'd be more productive. But that's just me.
I would love to meet these guys and see who they really are. Like, have you guys seen the episode of South Park with the guy that plays World of Warcraft?
Yeah.
I mean, is that them? Or are they, like, normal people that just go on the internet and get weird? But, I mean, I don't want to name names because I don't want to call people out necessarily. But I'm saying, like, are these guys mentally healthy individuals, or are they real goofballs?
Hmm. Well, I wouldn't think that any of them would really need to be committed or not anything. Committed,
but I'm saying, well, let me rephrase it this way. Are they happy people?
For the most part, probably not. There's got to be some hiding of insecurities going on there.
That is a really weird thing to do. Like, go on a website and go on with the purpose of trying to make other people feel bad. Like if you did that in person, like, you'd probably get arrested. You know what I mean? Like, what if I went to the mall and just went up to, like, a girl and said, "You're fat," and went up to another girl and said, "You're ugly," and went up to some dude and said, "You're an asshole." You know, like, that'd be like a really weird thing to do, you know,
but it would.
But people do it on the internet all the time. So I got to think it's people that are emotionally unhealthy. Like, really?
Yeah.
Yarp.
Armando, you're emotionally unhealthy. What do you think? What do you think of my synopsis?
I'm actually pretty emotionally unhealthy, but I have better outlets than the internet for my unhealthiness these days. And I like to work out and read comic books.
Yeah,
and
are you hella ripped now? You've been working out a while now. Are you, like, mad not, ripped?
I'm not mad ripped, but I'm getting the muscles, which is good. And I might be hella ripped come, like, Fest 13. So
do you want an excuse to take off your shirt? Did you get a job at a construction website? And every day at 3:45, you drink a Diet Coke and hope, like, the ladies at the window look out the window.
No, but
you guys get that reference, right?
Yeah. But all I really want is that, you know, if I were to like go to a pool party and take off my shirt, I'm like, oh hey, I look halfway decent, go me, and then do a cannonball and then drink a Coke.
Do you wear a Speedo? I imagine you as a Speedo kind of guy.
Do
you
wear nah, a swimsuit? I wear one of those old school like onesie swimsuits
with the horizontal stripes.
Greg, what kind of swimsuit do you do? I go like the lame route and just wear like the board short looking swimsuit that's actually a swimsuit. You know what I mean?
I feel like Greg is definitely like he has like a wetsuit, like he surfs. He surfs in Indiana.
I am scuba certified. No joke. So
there you go.
You know, fun fact, Sound Guy Nairman swims in the nude, FYI. and to close out tonight's podcast, we've got one more track from another track from Asian Man Records. This is a track by a band called Murder Burgers, who are kind of a pop-punkish band from Scotland. And this is a track off the new album called These Are Only Problems off Asian Man Records. And the song is called Another Way Out of Here. I'm an ugly piece of shit with a fucked up face and broken teeth and no place to go most of the time. And the older I get, the less I care about the fact my whole life's been a steady decline. And I've never so stupid to make my most smart and successfully ruined all the time that we spent. But by the time I woke up, you were gone and never got the chance to tell you I think you haven't said. So you want nothing to do with me. Up for the Punk News Podcast. I gotta say, boys, good episode today. It was wild. It was rollicking and crazy.
Congrats. It was. High fives all around.
As always, the listeners can reach us at podcast@punknews.org and send us a mail. And as always, the opinions of those making them exclusively and do not in any way represent the opinions of punknews.org. And other than that, fellas, unless you guys got anything else to say, we'll stitch this baby on up.
Oh, yeah.
Word. All right. Well, we will see you next week.